Hi, my name is Bo Arfi, and this is Uncommon.
Uncommon and Uncommon Clips are produced by Neural, a digital agency built for challenger brands and talent. To learn more, head to neural.com. That's NEURALLE.com.
I'm curious on where you sit on property type. So I'll give you my situation and why this is contextually relevant for me, and that I was having a conversation probably 6 weeks ago, and this person was talking down apartments, and I was like, I kind of get what you mean because I've lived in apartments and I understand the frustrations of it, but like I also think like that viewpoint is very short term, and that the viewpoint was, okay, you know, apartments, they don't own land. It's in a body corp, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to appreciate as much as houses, et cetera. But I'm like, but if that's what you can afford and that's good, it's a good deal, isn't that a good thing? Like, you're still getting into the property market. I just thought that was a weird perspective to have. So I guess I'm curious on where you sit on that side of things. And it's important now because of what happened with COVID.
Yeah.
I actually look at apartments and go, like, it's actually quite a good deal because they're being devalued significantly in comparison to houses. Like, the demand is for houses. So what's your view on it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, it's completely situational. You know, I wouldn't, you know, what that person said is it has some merit. I mean, at the same time, I mean, I got my current property, which is an apartment that I live in. And I own two apartments. And one of them, well, the one I live in at the moment, it's worth about $750,000. I only bought it probably 9 months ago. And I only bought it for $590,000. So, I mean, that's gone up quite a lot. I've had it appraised at that level. Whether that is true, I believe it is somewhat. Yeah, exactly. The market will dictate it. And I have an apartment in the city. It's a 2-bedroom apartment in South Bank. Again, emotional decision. For me, whenever I make an emotional decision, it doesn't go as well for me financially. I bought my fourth property that I bought when I was, would have been 21, 22. I bought it was an apartment in South Bank, 2-bedroom. And that was, I bought that for $350,000, $355,000. And today that property is probably worth $450,000. But I bought, I mean, I'm 28 years old. So I bought that 7 years ago.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean,
look, it's okay. Yeah.
I guess the thing is comparing it to inflation, right?
That's true. So to answer your question directly, my sort of like thinking and my rule is essentially that like the best time to get into the market is when you can afford it.
Yeah.
Like I think the absolute worst thing that anybody can do is like wait for things to happen. Like, like nobody has a crystal ball.
The perfect opportunity or the perfect price.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Because what you think about it, like once you get in, like even if the property grows at 0%, for like a year or two, like say you fuck up completely and you've bought at the wrong time. Yeah. Property's a long-term game. So we're not trying to like, you know, for me, like I don't like flip and stuff like that. Like I've never sold a property. So like even if the market doesn't move for 2 years, right, you're going to hold the property for more than 2 years. So then if you have a look at what else is associated to buying a property, well, what have you got? You've got cash flow, and the properties that I've purchased have always been positive cash flow. So if you go, all right, if you can find a property that's $100 a month positive cash flow, then over 12 months, you got $1,200. $1,200 positive cash flow for the year. Okay, cool. That's fuck all. That's fine. $1,200. What's the next one? Maybe tax. Call it, you know, the tax that you might get back off a property if it's positively cash flowed, negatively geared, or however you structure it, really. All your expenses associated to a property, they're going to be tax deductible. So say you get $3,000 or $4,000 back. Say call it $3,500. You got $3,500 plus $1,200, you're $4,700 better off already. The next thing is maybe debt reduction. If you structure the property, you don't have to structure it on P&I, but if you structure it on P&I, then that property is going to pay for itself off roughly about $7,000 a year, between $7,000 and $8,000 a year. So if you go $8,000 a year plus $4,700, what's that? $12,700. So $12,700 better off without even calculating growth to do that. So
still pretty good.
It's still pretty good. I mean, my answer is $12,500. $12,700 is better than nothing. You know, so you could stuff
versus,
up
versus sitting in a bank.
Correct. And then you've got inflation, and is inflation, your purchasing power is going down. I mean, if you've got $100,000 in the bank and then every single year, I mean, inflation, what, it was 7% or something? 7%. So $100,000. And then if you hold that in there for 12 months, your purchasing power is going to go down $7,000, right? When I was 25, I bought my Mercedes. It was $56,000, brand new, right? C300, Mercedes, perfect, good car, right? Had 2,000 Ks on it, something like that. So it wasn't brand new. I was looking at getting the same thing recently, brand new, $104,500.
Jesus.
Same car, three years down the track, new and new.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that inflation is more than 7%. I think it's very dangerous to just keep your money in the bank.
Well, it's a different time. It's like supply-driven inflation.
Yeah.
More than just money-printed inflation. So it stings even more at the moment. That's why it's really hard to compare where we are right now to anything that we had prior.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Yeah.
It's
very different. Spoke with a guy yesterday. He goes, he bought a Hilux or something like 3 years ago. And he goes, I bought it for 50 grand. I'm getting offers. He got an offer the other day, 76K.
Jeez.
So he's drove it for 3 years. He bought it for like 50 grand and now he's got 76K offer.
The thing though, in that situation is he's going to need to buy a car anyway.
That's fair. Yeah.
Similar thing. My in-laws, so we got a Skoda sort of.
But 90K is not going to be 90K. That's my point.
Yeah.
Like 90K sounds like a lot of money. But like if everything goes up, like if all the used cars are then 110K, like your 90K is fuck all. So even if like the market doesn't go up, it's like you're still losing that money.
Yeah.
It's like it's like what are you worth? It's like you're almost storing your money now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like in Asia, it's like, or in China, like you can't, people just store their money. It's like they, you know, all their properties are leaseholds. So they're like, they have to, they store their money in like wine barrels and shit, like art, whiskey, like whatever. So it's almost like if inflation's going to be like ridiculous, it's like it's almost.
Yeah, hard physical assets are going to be the thing. Mm. Or anything that is hard asset in comparison to its dollar value. So yeah, cars, houses, gold, NFTs, crypto, a business.
Mm.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because it's the only thing that's going to be able to fight the inflation side of things.
Completely.
So
lettuce is $12.
lettuces. That's wild. Yeah. Is like if you go as well to the market at the moment and you look at the prices, obviously things are up big time, I think. When I look at how much we were spending on groceries, it's easily like 30-40% up.
Yep.
But again, a lot of that's supply driven because we're so used to the fact that we just eat whatever we want all year round as opposed to just eating seasonally, which I found really interesting. If you look at a lot of the seasonal vegetables, they're not up as much.
Mm.
Like if you want to eat potatoes and broccoli and carrots and Brussels sprouts and all that, it's actually reasonably well priced.
Yeah, okay.
But if you want tomato,
yeah,
it's going to taste like nothing. And also, by the way, you're paying $13-14 a kilo. So
unreal.
Yeah, yeah. That was just at least an interesting observation. I found
completely.
So talk to me about Maple Property Group. You got 27 staff listed on the website. I'm sure that's probably changed in some way.
Always changing.
Yeah.
Always changing.
I always find it's funny when you do that and then you like you have new staff, people leave, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I got new people coming in. We've got like 7 or 8 new people, but 4 people have left. And then, it's like ridiculous. It's changing all the time. It's like, internally people are like, what the heck? You know, and I'm like almost going to get rid of it at this point.
It is what it is.
Correct.
So what is it that you think that you guys do different?
So for us, like, I mean, I always worked for other companies that did this sort of thing and some of the biggest companies in the industry for this sort of stuff. So for me, there was a magnitude of things that I really didn't like about it, about other companies that I worked for. And I tried to adopt that and put that into my company's practice. So I give you some examples are essentially, the education process. So our education process it's designed for people that, yes, they want to be aggressive, but they also want to learn. And they want to question things and they want to query things and they want to be inquisitive and they don't want to just go, oh, hey, yeah, tell me what to buy and I'll buy it. Like we don't really work like that. We want to, like, this is a long-term kind of partnership that we want to have with people. So a lot of other companies, I've seen them basically just go bring them on board and then essentially do like one session with them and then present something to them and go, hey, do you want to buy it? Yes, no. If you don't want to buy it, move along, never hear from them again. That's the first thing. And that's something that like we're very different with. We do like 4 in-depth like education and strategy sessions that, you know, that we'll do before we even get to the point of presenting something to them. So our education and strategy sessions are a lot longer. And, you know, we would essentially we would work with the client. Like, we value the person that we work with, I feel like, a lot more. Because all of our business, essentially, this is a second thing, like all of our business pretty much comes from like word of mouth, repeat business, referrals. You know, it comes from our socials. Like often it's pretty much unpaid. Like we've never really done too much paid things. Like we've done like little things here and there, but it's like not part of our overall strategy. Mm. So, I mean, that's the second thing. Like I've worked for companies that have got like that have like 15 people like cold calling in a room to then get an appointment, to then book it in, to then have a 3% chance of closing.
Yeah.
Like for us, we get like a website inquiry and we might get, you know, 20 a week or something. And we get these website inquiries and you know, our business just completely comes from different ways. And we're almost like a real estate agency in the sense that we try and be out there. You know, we encourage people to speak to their friends and family. And we very much like wear our reputation. And if we like stuff up, like then we have to like, we wear it. And like, you know, stuff up might be like not communicating to a customer for 3 days, like, or something like that. Like we have to wear that, but we're very public in like what we do. We're not like this kind of hidden company. Like I've worked for companies that have got 3 or 4 businesses where the cold call company is calling, saying they're from one company. Then they'll give it to another company that basically like will do the warm up, and then they'll give it to like another company. And then all of a sudden, like these two companies will have like all shit reviews. And then this one company has got like glowing reviews. I'm like, it's the same company. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, we don't do any of that stuff really. And like,
so it sounds like the advantage definitely is service based. And that
pretty much
you consider what your competitors are doing. They've got a one-time sit down and that's it. Whereas yours is very in depth and you're banking on that service as being that advantage.
Yeah, I think so. We want to like out-service people, but we also want to be here for a long time. Like for me, yeah, like it's not about like just making money for us. It's about like reputation. Like that's something that I care about like a lot more. You know, if people are saying like bad things about the company, that is like 100 times more concerning than people like deciding that it's not the right time to purchase or holding off their finance or something like that. Like, for me, like the reputation is like, the most important thing.